All right, good morning, friends. Great to see everyone. Happy Easter. Nice to look out and see the room so full, but we are surrounded by people who watch us celebrate Easter with curiosity. They are so confused as to what the celebration is all about. Why is it the most important day on our calendar? Ellen and I have been blessed with a new friendship. She's a young woman raised in a Muslim home. And we've been trying over time to introduce her to the reasons why we have fallen in love with our Jesus. This morning, she was in church for the first time worshiping on Easter. It's our joy as a people to introduce the reason for Easter to friends and family all around us. Easter says you can put truth in a grave, but you can't keep it there. We live and die. But Christ died and lived so that we might live again. Easter this morning, Easter around the world. Let me offer prayer as we launch into God's word. Father, help us now as we unpack these words of love and hope about an empty grave, a risen Lord, and the new life that is ours even now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll be looking at verses out of Isaiah chapter 65 in the middle of the Old Testament. I invite you to open your Bibles, the app on your phone, or follow with me on the screen. Isaiah chapter 65, starting with verse 17, where we ask, what is God up to? Verse 17, look, God says. Look, he says. I am creating new heavens and a new earth, and no one will even think about the old ones anymore. God says, look at this. It's the end of a presidential term. The presidential portrait has been completed. It's hanging on the wall. A crowd gathers. The president and the first lady are there. And then this portrait is unveiled and everyone cheers and claps. Or your favorite athlete makes it to the Hall of Fame. It's the induction ceremony. The bronze bust is there front and center. And it's unveiled as the athlete stands there and receives the accolades and everyone cheers. Anyone remember the Extreme Home Makeover show? The family is taken away. The home is redone. It's beautiful when it's finally finished. The family is brought back. But at first, they can't see the home that's been prepared for them. There's a bus in the way. It's a big bus. They're told all about this house and everything that's been done just for them. And finally, everyone cries together with the family, move that bus. And the bus is rolled away, and the family sees with such delight what's been prepared for them. God is saying that to us this morning. He's saying, look, I want to show you something new that I'm doing. He's speaking of a new heaven and a new earth. And he says, the new that I'm creating will be so great, you'll forget the things of the old. It's a reminder to enjoy the blessings of this life. If God has blessed you, don't feel guilty. Use it for his glory. But we're also invited to hold loosely to the blessings of this world. Our true identity should never be found in the things that bless us today. Because the new will be so great, the old will be forgotten. God promises the new will be so great that we won't even be able to remember the things of this world that we thought were so great. The material blessings, the things in our closet, in our garage, in our barn, the things that we love and treasure today, we won't even think of. Because of the greatness of what God is creating for us. Bank accounts, long forgotten. Trophies, long forgotten. God promises that it will be so great we won't even remember the troubles of this life. The chaotic moments, the times of pain. God promises that we will forget those things, and he also promises that he will forget. He said in the previous verse, verse 16, he'd put aside his anger. He'd forget the evil, our evil of earlier days. He'd said the earlier troubles are gone and forgotten, banished far from my sight. And our God of unfailing love looks at us just as if we had never sinned. And when God forgives, he forgets. He doesn't bring it up to us again. He never holds it against us again. Our old history ends with a cross, but our new history begins with the resurrection of Easter morning. Ellen and I have slightly different personalities. As a matter of fact, if you take her beautiful personality and turn it upside down, you get mine. There will be times when I will respond with impatience. I won't show all the respect that is due in our relationship. And so I'll come back and realize, and I'll apologize to Ellen, and I'll go to sleep at night thinking about replaying what I did and my desire to apologize and be made right with her. And I'll wake up in the morning with the very same thought. And the first thing I'll say as I wake up, I'll roll over and I'll repeat my apology. And you know what my bride will say? I don't know what you're talking about. She forgets it. With an apology, she forgets it and it's gone. And that is the promise of our God of unfailing love. The new that he's creating will be so great, he won't even remember the things in our lives that once got in the way. Rick Warren said, Jesus didn't die on the cross just so that we could live a comfortable life. His purpose is far deeper. He wants to make us like himself. Before he takes us to heaven, this is our greatest privilege, our immediate responsibility, and our ultimate destiny. He wants to make us like himself even here before we enter into his presence. What's God up to this morning in your life? What's the new creation that God is unfolding in your home, your family, your friendships? What is God up to in our world? God speaks to us this morning and he says, look, I'm doing something. Look closely and don't miss it. I'm creating something new just for you. We come to verse 18. God says, be glad. As a matter of fact, I want you to be so glad. I want you to rejoice forever in my creation. And look, I'll create Jerusalem as a place of happiness. Her people will be a source of joy. Be glad and rejoice. In the original language, it speaks of such joy. It's a joy that you can't hold back. It's like trembling with excitement. Be glad and rejoice forever. Scholars have carefully studied that word forever. They looked at it in the original text, in the context, and they've come to one conclusion. That word forever simply means forever. Be glad and rejoice. Forever. It's unending. It's continuous. It's a joy that we can't hold back. It's not a joy about what we have. It's a joy about what God has promised and what he's creating and what he's unfolding all around us. When was the last time we trembled with excitement? Anyone ever kept a beloved pet at the kennel? Returned from vacation? And your pet sees you coming in to retrieve it and take it home, and there's trembling with excitement. The videos of veterans returning home from a tour of duty, the trembling excitement of dogs being reunited, of spouses and loved ones running up to embrace, of children with tears running to embrace their loved one, trembling with joy. What's the source of such unending joy? The word tells us that it's the source of this joy is everything God is creating for you and for me in our world, in his church, and in our hearts. It says here that God will create Jerusalem as a place of happiness, as a people of happiness. Now here, I don't think it's a reference to the city of Jerusalem in this context. He's not referring to a political state of Israel. Here, Jerusalem refers to the new heaven, the new earth, all that God is creating in our story, in our lives. And he says here, there will be two sources of joy. First, it will be a place of happiness. Now, we want to be very honest. This place of happiness that God's describing, it's not found in any one denomination. It's not found in any one church. It's not found in any one place. Thank you for joining us at this church on this beautiful Easter morning. But we're not here to sell you religion. We're not even here to sell this church to you. We are all here looking for this place of joy and unending happiness that the Word is describing. And this place of happiness that the Word is describing, it's found in our relationships. It's found in these life-changing relationships with God and with each other, a place of happiness. But the word says it's also a people of happiness, not just any people. It's not the friends you look forward to going out with on Friday night. It's not just your teammates, your fellow athletes. It's not your classmates, your roommates. It's even more than the love of family. This refers to the life-changing relationships we have with one another as we're on the journey together to learn what it means to look, live, and love like Jesus. As we find a life-changing relationship with God, we're drawn to find deeper life-changing relationships with one another. Why? It's because that's when we begin to share this growing desire to look, live, and love like Jesus. And we can't do it on our own. We lean onto each other for this. We become the hands and feet of Jesus at work in the world today. We begin to do the things that Jesus would be doing if he were in the world today. I love the mobile food pantry that you organize, Sue. Thank you for doing that. May your numbers increase. Every Saturday morning, we get to serve those families that enter our door. The food pantry downstairs. Shelves that you help keep stocked with food so that as families come in during the week, they can walk down our aisles and choose what they want to take home to care for their family. Too many names to call out, but every Thanksgiving, the Family Life Center, the gym, is filled with a processing center as we prepare 1,000-plus Thanksgiving baskets to serve families in the city. Other churches come here to join us in preparing these baskets and serving them to the community. We begin to do the things that Jesus would do if he were in the world today. A people of joy, a place of joy. Jesus made it so simple. He said, I'm inviting you to love me, and that's what we do as we gather to worship. And as you gather to love me and worship, then Jesus says, I want you to go and love one another. And so we try and come together and build these relationships in small groups and a community of life-changing relationships. And then Jesus says, as you love me and you love one another, I want you to go and serve this world. You're invited to be a part of that with us. As Pastor Bill invited you, take the connection card. If you'd like more information about worship or a community of friends where you can build these life-changing relationships or chance to serve at the mobile food pantry or other places, let us know. We'd be honored to serve with you. But God is saying, look closely. I'm doing something new just for you. So what's God up to this morning in your life, in your relationships, and in our world? Would you like to know this unending joy that's only found in a life-changing relationship with God and with one another? We come to verse 19, and then we'll jump to verse 23. It's a future of happiness and joy beyond anything this world can offer. Verse 19, God says, I will rejoice over Jerusalem and delight in my people. And the sound of weeping and crying will be heard no more, for they are people blessed by the Lord. Their children too will be blessed. I will answer them before they even call to me. While they're still talking about their needs, I'll go ahead and answer their prayers. In those days, no one will be heard or destroyed on my holy mountain. I, the Lord, have spoken. What's he saying to us here? First, it's inviting us to consider, what are the things in life that get us most excited? Do you know what the highest rated hour on TV will be this week? The NFL draft on Thursday night. What are the things that get us excited? Our hobbies? We have worthy hobbies. Our friendships? Worthy of celebrating. Children, grandchildren, worthy of great joy. But there's something even greater than that that God is speaking of this morning. Do you know that our God of unfailing love gets excited over us? Imagine a scene in heaven. God is looking over the porch of heaven, down on this world and our lives as we know it, and he's calling all the angels together with excitement and saying, come, I want you to see this. Don't miss what's happening down here. Look what they're doing as they share my love with people in need. Heaven gets excited over us as we live out this story. God gets excited over his church when it's being the church. God gets excited over his people, over us, as we try one day at a time to better look, live, and love like Jesus. And in that excitement, in God's excitement for us, he's preparing something very special. It's a place where there will be no more weeping or crying. You ever sat across from a grieving family? And there are no words. But the promise is that here there will be no more weeping or crying. A place where this and future generations will know God's blessing. You know, you can describe what honey tastes like, but people really don't understand it until they taste it for themselves. God says, taste and see the goodness that I'm offering for you. We will know God's blessings because then we will be able to see it and touch it for ourselves. And in this excitement, God is preparing something very special just for us. Have you ever been in a situation where you sensed someone's need, a colleague, a classmate, friends, or family? You saw a need and you instinctively knew what to do and you just stepped forward and met that simple need in that opportunity. This is what God's saying he'll do for us. He will begin to answer our prayers before we even finish the sentence. Maybe some of you had a chance to scan the news this morning. Earlier this Easter morning, on the other side of the world, Christians were gathering in Sri Lanka, and there were coordinated bomb blasts. Last I checked, there were at least 8 different bombs set off as Christians were gathering to worship. They've reported so far 140 deaths, 560 injured, and rushed to the hospital. As people gathered to celebrate Easter. But God is telling us there's a time coming when he's preparing something so special no one will ever be hurt or destroyed again. Imagine for me a world. No more abandonment. No more abuse. No more trust betrayed. No more bullying. No more aloneness. No more disease. This is a broken world. We're called to serve where bad things happen to good people, even to God's people. But in that excitement, God's preparing something very special, a place where no bad things ever happen again. The Bible calls this good news. You're born again, adopted into God's family. Your name is written in the book of life. You're indwelled by the Holy Spirit, who also overshadows and gives you strength. God goes before us and comes behind us. We are saved and forgiven and called and sent, accompanied, commanded, instructed, blessed, filled, and used by God to make a difference in our world. So what's God up to this morning? What is God doing? What's he creating? What's he unfolding in your life, in your relationships, in your heart and home, in our world? And would you like to know this unending joy? Thank you for joining us, but it's not found in any one church. It's found in life-changing relationships with our God and with one another. Every day is a gift. Enjoy the blessings of this life. Give thanks for the blessings. Share the blessings. But always remember, our God of unfailing love is so excited over his church and his people that he's preparing something special just for you. A future of joy and happiness beyond anything this world can offer. So thank you for joining us this morning as we celebrate Easter and the risen Lord. Jesus died on a cross for our sins, but the grave couldn't hold him. And on the third day, Jesus rose again. The tomb was empty. He conquered death and gives us the promise of new life. New life with him when this life is over. Would you like to get in on the joy of this promise? I read an article by a pastor who was describing his church. He called it a church for the nuns, the duns, and the undones. The nuns, not those wearing the black habits. Those who respond to surveys asking for religious affiliation, and they respond, none of the above. I saw a report this week that those who respond, none of the above, are now as many as the Catholics. Church for the nuns and the duns. Those who are done with church as usual, and the undones, those who feel like they're just drowning because there's so much coming at them at once. So we're not selling church or religion. We're not even selling this church. No strobe lights, no fog machines, no celebrity pastors or worship leaders, but we invite you to join us on this incredible journey as we want to build life-changing relationships with the God who loves us and with one another. As we're learning together, one day at a time, what it means to look, live, and love like Jesus, to find a need and to show them God's love. I would love to have you join us for the next 4 weekends as we unpack more of this story, the words of love and hope, and as we watch together to see what God is unfolding. If you'd like to linger after the service for conversation or prayer, we'd be honored to join you for a moment. Let me say a prayer, and then we'll come back to worship before we close our hour of celebration. Father, thank you for your unfailing love, for the promise of new life. Thank you that you're so excited over us when all we want to do is to show your love. Give us strength to live this out. Thank you for Easter, an empty grave, for new life that begins even now. Help us to be Easter people as we go from here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.